faster and louder. Okay. All right. Sorry, I didn't have more time to work on that, but you got what I'm saying? Your motivation is my career. Okay. Okay, and in this week in all the news that isn't bad, we have the following opening headline: Clint Eastwood will take over the White House Secret Service. So there's some good news. What do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulian on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome author and screenwriter Richard Price, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the birthday boy who's a multiple of several smaller numbers, it's Michael Feldman.
Multiple of several smaller numbers. Okay, yep, one of those multiple birthdays. They happen after a while. Well, see, when you have to be a multiple, you could probably, I suppose when you're two, you're a multiple, right? Because two times one. Well, when you're one, you're one times one. So you're always a multiple of some smaller numbers.
And if you get into the fractions, it's a whole other business.
Yeah. There are some prime birthdays, though. Like when you're eight. No, that's four times. When you're nine, no.
Seven, maybe.
What's a good prime birthday?
Seven.
Seven.
21?
No, 21 is seven times three, but seven,
that's
I think you got seven.
I'm not a
mathematician. Anyone here seven? Anyone turning seven? 19? Okay. This has been very educational. Thank you. You can now deduct the full cost of your ticket because it was an educational expense. All right. And all the news that isn't bad this week, because I couldn't find anything else, frankly, and this was kind of a stretch. This, for example, the dachshund in Ohio drops from an obese 56 pounds to 12 simply by dropping its White Castle diet. So that's good news. And what about these disease-free Devonshire beavers gone wild in England? Okay. Hillary Clinton gets a Yik Yak account. That's good news. No climate change in Florida. Fantastic. It's climate change-free in Florida. Texas is down to its last dose of execution drugs. More good news. Psychedelic mushrooms known as Prince Harry's found in Buckingham Palace Gardens. Then there is a woman in Indonesia who put her house up for sale with her in it. One offer so far. I don't know how that's going to go. Game of Thrones will last longer than the 100-year war. The Apple Watch is not completely useless if you get the garage door app. Procto app, up to you. Putin disappears from the world stage along with a squad of gymnasts. Okay. That's even true, I think. In Casa Grande, Arizona, passing cars pick up bales of pot tossed from a fleeing SUV. There's a stable of very disappointed horses somewhere in Casa Grande. Hot springs discovered in Saturn's frozen moon Enceladus. So there's hot springs on Enceladus, okay. 7-week-old Irish baby says hello and then will not shut up. Plus the sea shanties. God. Okay, after an Indiana farmer saves a calf born into a snowbank by jumping into a hot tub with it, they are all but inseparable. red wine is good for you. Lots of it, even better. Seniors in Albuquerque, New Mexico High School vote for a communism-themed prom to be called Promumism. Ancient tooth enamel reveals early man did not practice an effective decay preventive dentifrice or use a conscientious program of oral hygiene and regular professional care. And finally, and I mean that, a conclusive study results in an average penis size being reduced a good inch and a half. That's all the news that isn't bad. Thank you so much. All right. got things off on a really good start there with that. That's just okay. Every once in a while, I got to do all the news that isn't bad. So that's, I'm not saying it's necessarily good, but it's the best we could do in short notice. Richard Price has got a new book out. He doesn't. Harry Brandt has a new book out. Richard Price is writing as Harry Brandt. And Richard Price, I'm sure you know him from the books and that he's written. Lush Life was a big smash a few years ago. But he's also done a ton of movies. He did Son of Shaft. Not the original Shaft, but Son of Shaft. And he actually made it into an actual believable movie, which was kind of amazing. He did some of the other ones here. Color of Money, that was him. New York Stories, Sea of Love, Night in the City, Clockers, Ransom, Shaft, The Wire. He wrote for The Wire. A new one coming up called Child 44, but he's a novelist, and he does that stuff for money. Well, let's find out if that's true or not. Richard Price is on the line with us from New York. Hi, Richard. How are you this morning?
I'm pretty good. Still trying to wake up.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry about this. Did we wake you to do this? Or?
It's the crack of 11 here.
What is your usual rising hour? Do you have writer's hours where you get up at dawn and start writing for 6 hours? Or?
No, I usually, not dawn exactly. I usually get up, whatever time I get up, and religiously avoid writing for about 4 or 5 hours until I can't stand it, and then I write.
Really? That's a little unusual, isn't it? I mean, because don't you tend to put it off and then just never do it?
I don't know. There's a whole nation of writers who hate to write, and I'm one of them.
Really? Is that like a writer's block, or is that something else?
No, it's called fidustering. Do the crossword puzzle, go out and buy brand new pencils. It's like jogging, It's like preparing for 3 hours to jog for 20 minutes.
Yeah. And you got to do a book tour for this one, too, right?
Yeah, if it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium.
Yeah.
I just did 7 cities in 7 days, and then I'm coming out to Milwaukee later this week.
So the high point.
I just want to take a photograph of home plate for the Milwaukee Braves in the parking lot of the Brewer Stadium.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to go home.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, pretty good. Were you a Milwaukee Braves fan?
I could tell you everybody that was on the 1957 Milwaukee Braves team that beat the Yankees.
Okay, shortstop?
Johnny Logan.
Second base?
I want to say Eddie Matthews, but he was third base.
Yeah.
Joe Adcock was first base.
Shane
Del Crandall was the catcher.
Red Shane next. Second base.
Red Shane, yeah. Right, because he was on so many teams.
Yeah.
Then we had Felix Mantilla in the outfield.
Right.
Hank A. I can't remember the last guy's name. Hank A. something.
Yeah, A. something.
And Wes Covington.
Wes Covington, you're right.
Joey J. was a pitcher. Lou Burdette, Warren Spahn.
Yeah.
I was 7 years old, by the way.
Yeah. But this is all revenge.
And I am a Yankee.
Yeah, you're revenge because you're a Yankees fan. So you knew who to hate?
I hated the Yankees.
You hated the Yankees?
What? Yeah, I mean, they just about showed up with attaché cases. There was, it's like corporations and pinstripes. And, Milwaukee Braves were, the symbol of, like middle America. They didn't, they weren't a major media center. And, they took on U.S. Steel, and they beat them.
Yeah. Plus, we stole them from Boston. That's kind of cool, too.
Yeah. I have all my baseball cards at the Boston Braves.
Yeah.
So, another story for another time.
Yeah. But the Yankees were from the Bronx, though, as were you, right?
Well, yeah, so was the Bronx Zoo. I didn't like that either. I mean, I was a Dodgers fan, and, then by default, the Mets fan when the Mets came on the scene. Through Brooklyn Bun form, they lost their first 9 games, and then there was a headline when they won the 10th in the Daily News, and it said, a streak.
That's pretty good. You mentioned, or it is mentioned in your Wikipedia page for some reason, that you're a nice middle-class Jewish boy from the Bronx who ends up...
I said working class, not middle class.
Really? Because it's down there, it says middle...
Different.
It says middle class.
I grew up in a housing project.
Yeah.
My father drove a cab, but,
Oh. Well, you better edit that then, because that ruins the whole image.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm going to say lower middle class says that.
Lower. Yeah, everyone says that now. I read that everyone who earns $100,000 or more thinks they're lower middle class.
Well, at this point it is. But my father always used to hate it because they used to say lower middle class. He would say, could you just please take the lower out or call us working class?
Really? But and you don't come from a cop family, do you? Because, I mean, everything you do...
Oh, no, I never talked to a cop until I was an adult, you know.
What was that circumstance?
The circumstance... Well, I was hired to do... I came up with the idea of Sea of Love, which is the Al Pacino movie.
Right, great
movie. And, you know, and I realized I don't know anything about cops, so I just hooked up with a friend of a friend who is a detective in Jersey City. Next thing I knew, I was in the back of a squad car, and I just loved, I don't love cops or dislove cops.
Yeah.
But I love what I could see when I was with cops. You see stuff you would never see on your own. You're never allowed to see on your own. Uh-huh. Or if you wanted to see it on your own, you wouldn't live to write about it.
Yeah. As such as what?
Oh, showing up at homicides, you know, breaking up a domestic fight, seeing a police unit attack a squad of dope dealers. I mean, you know, you go places where you'd have your head handed to you. You know, if you decided at 3 o'clock in the morning to go up to a project's apartment, that was basically a drug den.
Yeah.
A couple of times I almost had my parts shipped home, some encounters. But, you know, after a while, they kind of forgot about me, and I was the only guy without a bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
I had my steno pad in front of me for protection.
Really?
Yep.
So they break down the door, and you come in with your steno pad shortly thereafter?
Right, right. Yes. You know, cease, or I'll write about you. You know, it's like, You know, I mean, here all these, like big athletic guys, you know, and they're all suiting up with their bulletproof vests, and each vest has, some kind of, gothic killer symbol on it, you know, or skull, flaming skull. They personalize their vests, and they're all ready to bust into an apartment. And these guys, each one could dismember me, and each of these guys would go in and go on, and here comes the writer at the end, you know.
Yeah.
And, all these guys, all the perps and everything, they would look at me and they figured, they look at my presence and they'd call me, there's that Dustin Hoffman looking dude. You know, he's got to be a special prosecutor or something because he sure isn't a cop.
And he's got a steno pad.
Right. And, you know, he's taking notes just like your teacher.
Yeah. So, I mean, all right, so this changed your life, though, as far as a writer, and this is what you write about now, and these guys themselves, not just the whole crime deal, but these individuals themselves and their whole sociology, mostly on NYPD. But what did you write before that, domestic comedies or what?
No. I wrote four novels in my 20s that were published,
yeah.
And at that time, I really literally took that adage, write what you know. So I wrote about myself because I was in my 20s and I didn't know about anything.
Yeah.
And after the fourth book, even I couldn't read it. I was so bored. I mean, my therapist couldn't read it. He was bored.
Yeah. Easy to run out of life in your 20s, I think.
Yeah. I mean, what am I going to write about next? What I had for breakfast?
Yeah.
You know, and so I just stopped writing novels and I spent 8 years writing screenplays. And in that period of writing screenplays, I was forced to go outside myself, you know, to write about pool hustlers, to write about cops
color of money.
Photographers. And I discovered, listen, I go on the road, hang out with pool hustlers, and guess what? I can write about pool hustlers.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of forced me out of myself, and I realized, write about what you know. Well, you can always learn something, and then you know that too. And the whole world opened up to me. And when I came back and wrote Clockers and Freedom Land and Lush Life and now The Whites, it was based on just going out into the world, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like I've been going at writing. It was like the world was an ocean, and I was going at it with a demitasse spoon, you know? And once I realized, just go out and learn something, and then you can write about that. You know, it's I was drowning, you know, in just things I wanted to know, wanted to learn about, so I could turn it into some kind of art. Yeah. And that's the way I am now. I just have to report everything. I can't write about something, you know, out of the back of my head. I just got to go out all the time. It's addicting, and it's a hell of a lot more fun than writing.
Yeah, interesting. But this unlocked something in yourself, besides just reporting it. I mean, there's something in you that relates to these guys. I mean, they're very complex individuals, the way you portray them there. They're both heroes and villains on the police force, and they got their own code of honor, code of ethics, and so forth. But so there must have been something in you that definitely related to that sociology part of it, I guess.
Well, look, I grew up, you know, I was, you know, a typical, I came from a Democratic family, American family. You always root for the underdog. And I spent as much time with these guys. I spent as much time with the police, you know, the customers of the police, as I did with the police. And what I responded to with these guys is not heroic. What I responded to is the messiness of these people. You know, it's boring to write about somebody who's all one way. Mm-hmm. And so if you write and everything is black and white, it's dull. It's a polemic. And I've always felt like the most important, there's no literature without respect for the gray areas. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to write about a hero or, you know, a token hero, go for the ugly moments in his life. If you're going to write about a villain, go for the good moments. You know, and just make it as confusing as possible and as a human being.
But as I understand it now, The Whites, your latest, and it's a great book, you are not writing as yourself, you're writing as someone called Harry Brandt. So was the idea that you were going to, just to make some money perhaps, or just to get through something quickly, put out a line of potboilers, kind of crime potboilers, and then save your energies
it's something like what you said. Originally... I wanted to do this for money. I wanted to write in a way I never wrote before. I wanted to do a strict genre book, like a tight urban thriller, bang, 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 turn a page, turn a page, turn a page. And it was supposed to take 4 to 6 months. Well, it took 4 years, and it came out like any other book under my name.
Yeah.
And so at this point, it was a miscalculation, to say the least, to put it under a pen name. I just thought I could write in a different way, but I've been writing one way for 41 years.
Yeah.
I was foolish to think, and frankly, at this point, I wish I never used that pen name. It's just confusing.
Yeah. Plus, it's bigger than yours on the cover.
Well, that was because it was a defensive thing, too. I thought, like, you know, to whoever's going to review the book, please don't beat me up as Richard Price and say, well, what's this? You know, it's so thin. But then it turned fat.
Yeah. You got the shades of gray in there. You can't live without complexity. Then they're complex characters.
I got all 50.
Yeah, and there's a body count that's bigger than most Shakespeare, I think.
Well, you know, there's no real violence in the book. It's just, I mean, these are detectives that detectives always show up after the fact. There's no physical combat. It's about where'd the guy go. You know, you're not called. You're not on the scene. That's a uniform. You're called afterwards. You know, hey, come on down here. We got a felony. And so then you come down. The guy's in the wind, and you're just basically staring at somebody in the hospital or somebody lying on the floor not moving.
Yeah. I do like to say that there's also a Jewish element among the police force, which up until now I have missed out on there being such a thing. So there's that's you know, for me, as the Jewish reader, I dug that. Because I like Jewish mobsters, for example, you know.
Well, you know, look, I'm Jewish too, and you know, I just, you know, you got to do that because you know Jews get a bad rap as, you know, cops or you know are Catholic or Protestant. You know, my grandfather for 2 minutes in the 1920s was a cop, but. Then his mother said, you take that uniform off, and he did.
That sounds right. Yeah, so it's in there. Okay, I guess that's all I'll say on that. But the other thing, that the book itself is called The Whites, and the reference is to Moby Dick, And from what I've read, other crime authors and other police kind of writing about this, there is such a thing as this white, a collection of these are cases that these guys carry around with them their entire lives, right?
Well, actually, it's like, first of all, I made up the expression white. I mean, no cop. I just made it up, just like I made up the word clockers. Basically, a white. I mean, I've met so many detectives who were obsessed with one case that might have been 6-7 years old, and in a sea of cases, that's the one that obsesses them because it interacts with something in their personal makeup, and it's very unique to them. And the other cops have no idea why this cop is obsessed with this particular case, but it's like they're AHAPs. Once they retire, they'll take the case files and take them to their house, and in their 50s, and they're calling, hey, nobody called the coffee man who served coffee to the guy we think did it, you know, and they're 10 years off the job, and they're making calls. And so they're AHABs, and not the crimes, but the perps are their great whites, and so I just call them whites.
Yeah, and now this sort of knowledge comes from more than ride-alongs, though, right? You must have spent some...
Yeah.
Did you live with these guys for a while? Or, I mean, how did that work?
No, I'm straight. no, when you say, did I live with these... Live with who, the cops?
Yeah, because, I mean, this is beyond just riding along and see what happens.
All I ever did with these guys is hang out.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, look, I'm a writer, and if I'm hanging out with cops and doing a ride along or talking to them, they know they're talking to a writer.
Right.
So, there's going to be certain editing of what comes, self-editing on their part. I don't know what these guys talk about or how they act when I'm not there, when the writer's not there. Mm-hmm. But, if you hang out long enough, people give away so much. You know, there's so many tells. So I can just imagine what they're like with no writer there, because I'm writing about people, you know, without a recording secretary in the book. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing, you know, with the guys I hang out with in the projects, you know, the guys who had the families that are struggling there or, you know, the guys that are doing, you know, stuff that they should be in jail. These guys know there's a writer there, and they're going to present a certain part, certain sense of self to me. But, you know, when I'm not there, you know, there's a duality that comes over people in the presence of a writer.
Yeah.
But my job is called fiction. My job is to imagine me not being there.
Yeah. And in the book, in this book, The Whites, there's a group in there like the overnight shift. They're the ones who investigate what happens between, midnight and dawn or something. And
well, it's like 1 a.m. to 8 a.m., one squad of detectives that cover all of Manhattan from Wall Street to Harlem, because there are no local detective squads in New York working those hours. And they have to respond to everything. And I love that. I hung out with the night squad. Mm-hmm. I mean, Night Watch, sorry, I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. Night Watch. And I hung out with them. You never know, a call comes in. You know, it could be your wife calling up, don't forget the milk and the bananas. Or it could be, listen, we have a triple homicide on the street in Times Square. And it's just, it's like Ouija, the tabloid photographer in the 40s, that he just showed up at everything. And you never knew what was going to come over the phone. Mm-hmm. You never knew what you were going to.
Yeah.
And it was just, I just love the notion of just covering wee hour Manhattan. In terms of like felonies committed.
Yeah. Was Ouija kind of a model for you in terms of a journalistic approach?
Yeah, he was. He's like my favorite, not my favorite artistic photographer, but he was called Ouija because he got to crime scenes before the police often. And so they would say about him, what do you got, a Ouija board in there? You know, he had a police radio and he would just sit in a car all night in some central spot and make it to the scene before the cops did sometimes. And he had a dark room in the trunk of his car. He developed photos right on the spot.
Really?
And the most poignant telling instruments of New York at night.
Yeah, no, he was great. And these guys are called the Wild Geese, so they're like, they have their own little pack or something in the department.
Well, they did. Well, they they started out 20 years earlier when they were young on the job and they were, you know, in plain clothes, anti-crime. And they were in the worst part of the Bronx where I was born and during the worst time of the worst part of the Bronx. And they were like street commandos. And that was their salad days. They were like in their 20s. They were ready for anything. But now the four out of five of them are retired. And the fifth guy, the main character, who's commanding Night Watch, he's pretty sedentary. And these are old cases, the whites that start showing up dead. And, you know, our hero, our guy, is just assuming that they've all been killed by his friends, the retired detectives who could never get their individual whites out of their mind. No. It's too obviously a pattern.
Yeah. So this is, and it gets so complicated and so interconnected. And did you really think you were going to get out of this just kind of straightforward kind of genre story at once
started? I did. But there's a big difference between when you're outlining a book and figuring out and organizing. And then once you start writing, life takes over. You know, the minute you physically commit to the act of writing, these characters, I don't want to get romantic and say characters write themselves because they don't. I write them.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden you realize there's more depth to the guy. And these characters started expanding. And I started writing about domestic life, which I've never done before. Mm-hmm. And so that element of the main guy's life was a new element in books. And these characters just started getting fatter and richer. I don't mean like money-wise or weight-wise. I mean, they became broader characters for me. Then the book just became like another type of book I would write.
No.
I mean, the same type of book I would write.
Same type, yeah. And this Billy, isn't Billy sort of half Jewish too, or something like that? I don't know.
No. He's stone Irish.
Yeah.
His wife is Puerto Rican. One of his ex partners is a woman who's Syrian Turkish. One of his partners is a black guy from a funeral director family in Harlem.
Right.
Another guy is half Jewish, half Polish.
That's the guy.
The stalker, Billy, there's a stalker in the book
named
Milton Ramos.
Right.
And Milton's half Jewish, half Puerto Rican. I mean, I try to make it like the bar in Star Wars, you know.
Yeah. But,
you know, I'm an equal opportunity employer here.
Yeah. Ramos is half Jewish?
Yeah, well, his first name is Milton.
Milton? Okay, yeah. Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah. I just want to make it as big of a ethnic and emotional mess as I can.
Yeah, totally. But it's amazing. It's an amazing book. It's called The Whites. It's soon to be a movie, too, right? Are you writing the screenplay for this as well?
Yeah, if they can find me, I'll write the movie. But, you know, it's really rough to write scripts of your own book because you're too emotionally close.
Yeah, you're too tight.
You have to negotiate every sentence that you throw away. Whereas if I hadn't written the book, you know, I would have no personal connection to it, and I just chopped that thing up.
Yeah. Well, Harry Brandt wrote it. You didn't write it.
Yeah. And his evil brother, Skippy. His evil twin.
Can we expect a second Harry Brandt novel? Or?
Well, you know, I owe another book to another publisher. That comes first. But, yeah, I would like to revisit these characters, definitely.
Oh, cool.
Instead of the Whites, maybe I'll just call it The Purples.
The Purples. Well, this one is called The Whites. Richard, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
I'm going to go back to bed now.
I'll go back to bed. Richard Price, going back to bed, author of The Whites, ladies and gentlemen. It's on, let's see, what is that there? Henry Holt. Henry Holt. So if you do like, you know, like crime, fiction, crime, drama.
I love Richard Price.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Would you like this then?
I'd love that.
Okay. I'll just throw this to you. All right. John is our reader. Yeah, you like
that. No, because I read Lush Life and Samaritan and Freedom Land, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Wonderful. And it doesn't cost you a dime.
Oh, I know. Thank you very much. Well, I should be giving you something. It's your birthday.
Thank the publisher. But. Oh, that's quite all right. Yeah, aren't you guys? Okay. All right, then. So, and how are you, then? Pretty good?
Good. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Jeff, everything well?
Good.
Got any kids with you today, or?
Not today. He left them at home.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're still at home.
You're like Father of the Year this year, I think.
Am I?
We're going to declare you Father of the Year.
Thank you.
Take your kids on remotes with us. And
sure. Yeah.
What a good dad.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's not what the kids were telling me last week. But
well,
that's
another story. I know, but that's...
It's always a different perspective.
That's for domestic court.
Yeah.
All right, so here, this song here. What do you feel like playing there?
Oh, this is something... well, what's it called? Oh, yeah. Till There Was You.
Till There Was You. What a wonderful choice.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Okay, go in the audience here now, and let's just see what we got here. What do you call two sisters born 11 months apart? A lucky break. Then I would come. More power to you. Holy cow. Where is Franny? Hey, Franny.
Hi.
11 months apart?
Yes.
Yours? Yes?
Yes.
Oh, you too are 11 months apart.
Yes.
Did you ever, well, you probably never had a discussion about that with your parents. That's a pretty tough one, actually. I'd say, with, you know, 2 years would be about the soonest you get close to her again after, you know, speaking of the parents involved, you know, but, so that's pretty good. And are you close? Are you close?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. No? Yes? You must be close because you're still together. And you're not hitting each other. And, oh, let's just go back and meet them. 11 months apart. So you don't, no one really has the edge when it's only 11 months, right? Yeah, you still get to act the older sister?
Yes.
You do? Totally? But she's only got, like, 11 months on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how did you intimidate her then?
Well, I still do. Yeah. We used to dress...
Physically, do you have to...
We used to dress alike for the month, though. Dressed like me the month we were the same age. She still does.
So can you stand up a second? Because people think I'm doing both voices if I do. There is a month of the year you'd be the same age.
Yes. Yes.
What month from would March, that be?
End of March to the end of April.
So 1 month you're the same age, and you dressed alike for that?
Right. As soon as I turn my birthday on March 27th, I start calling her and saying, what are you wearing today? Because I'm your twin.
We're
I'm going to wear it with you.
We're identical twins.
Identical twins 11 months apart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did she force you to dress like her? I mean, did she forcibly dress you?
Yes, she did.
She did.
She did.
Intimidation.
Yeah. Like, what would she dress you in? Some?
Oh, blue jeans and a white shirt.
Because that's what she was wearing?
Yeah. We used to call it Irish twins. Till we went to Galway and told the joke, and they did not find it amusing.
No.
At all.
No. Still to this day, they don't find it.
Well, we just did it a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would an Irish twin be? I mean, is there such a thing?
That's what they call people born less than a year apart.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm. Rhythm babies.
Oh, rhythm babies. So some got rhythm and some don't.
Some don't. Mm-hmm.
I can't keep a beat myself.
We have 9 kids in the family, so our mom did not have any rhythm at all.
Are they all 11 months apart?
No.
What's the other close? What comes in second to you guys?
Well, a lot of them are a year apart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the next one must be like 15 months.
And you are?
Franny.
Franny and?
Patty.
And Patty.
Mm-hmm.
And are you celebrating now, right?
Yeah.
What do we have to help them celebrate?
Well, we could answer the number question with a book called Finding Your Perfect Soulmate or Business Partner, The Science
come
of Numbers.
On. Irish Twins. Irish Twins.
The CD Impossible Dream.
No, Irish Twins.
Oh, celebrate St. Patrick's Day at Rex's Innkeeper in Wanakee, dancing to the music of Wanakee's community big band.
Big band. And Irish Twins. What else?
You want the wine. Just tell me that you want the wine. Oh, how about some wine?
Oh, yeah, beat you over the head with a bottle.
From Wallersheim Winery.
Yes. Yay. There you go. All right. Finally, we got
you.
Yes. Coming.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. Okay, then. That's pretty. pretty good. I didn't know about that.
You can have all those other gifts, too, if you want them. FYI.
Patra Zibi is from Mad Magazine. Ken, Miami? Right? You can? Yeah. Did you used to get, I used to buy the Mad books, too. Did you?
All of them.
Yeah.
Formative in our years, I think. We actually were shaped by...
Yes. Yeah. And never knew what Patra Zibi...
Polish word that I think we don't want to say on the air.
Is it really? It means something.
I read somewhere that one of the writers knew some Polish.
Thanks, Ken. You're my soulmate, man.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, you're my mad soulmate. Yeah, those books are very important, very formative. Very deformative, I would say. Sharon Hennings from Monona, Wisconsin. Huh? Oh, okay. I'll come over there. I'll make you come over to me. Because I move around, I'm too quick. I'm too quick on my feet, you wouldn't catch me. Watch this. it's getting past everyone here, then I have a problem. Okay, pardon me. Are you guys doing pretty good?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. What are you guys up to today? What is this?
No good.
No.
You don't want to know.
No. You guys old friends?
No. sister. She's not my sister, but I met her through my sister.
You met her through your sister?
Yes.
Okay. Fine. Good. All right. Nice talking. Yeah, I don't know them. Okay. Try to make conversation. Never very good at it, to tell you the truth. That's why I'm in the radio. It doesn't matter so much on the radio in life. Why is that company? Is it talking to you? What? Oh, I'm in the wrong row entirely. I'm so sorry. Can I just stand up here? So, yes. How are things in your row over here?
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Who are these people? You know these people?
This is my Puzzle Q and my aunt.
Your what and your what?
Puzzle Q. It comes from 1980.
It's from Mad Magazine. Puzzle Q.
No. Puzzle Q came from the 1980s census. You're the classified people. It's persons of opposite sex sharing living quarters.
Oh.
Puzzle Q.
How do you do? I never met one. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Nice to meet you. He's a Puzzle Q. Yeah, yeah. Does he have a name besides Puzzle Q?
Yeah, that's Rob.
Rob. And then this is, who's this?
This is Aunt Lois.
Aunt Lois. How are you? Oh, I saw you out in the hallway there eating all those donuts. You were halfway out the door when I said something about it.
No, I just like that. It's novel, old-fashioned donut.
Which kind do you like, with the sprinkles or you like?
Well, today I tried the glazed ones, but I think I'll go back to the plain.
Yeah, no, the glaze is no good.
Ah, not good for you. The donuts are good for you.
Donuts are good for you, but not the glazed one.
The glazed.
It's the glaze that gets you. And then what were you going to talk about? I forgot.
I don't know.
Oh, a bird. Yeah. Are you a big bird watcher?
This last summer, I was a big bird watcher. Yeah. We had a couple of red-tailed hawks in the neighborhood growing up. And they were very interesting to watch, but they were just huge, huge birds. Yeah.
And they would carry off kittens and that sort of thing. That was always disturbing.
No, it was wild because they wouldn't go after other birds, but any rodents go through the area. And
they're cats.
Rodents or cats. Yeah, that's
they consider cats rodents, hawks.
That's true. The neighbors did keep their cats in during the period the birds were around. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You got to defend them. You got to get a weapon and defend your... You sit out there with a shotgun and, you know...
I don't know about that. Have you seen the size of those birds? I wasn't about to leave the house very far myself, so.
you have bird feeders and all that. Do you attract any strange besides the hawks?
Besides the hawks, no. Actually, I have a great system for my bird feeders. I put a stovepipe on the bottom of it, so the squirrels, you know, you get squirrels
all
the time.
Can't climb up a stovepipe. I don't believe that.
That's right. They can't climb a stovepipe. So you can sometimes, although they can drop from the trees onto us. Squirrels think they can fly as long as there's a bird.
Flying squirrels can.
Yeah, yeah. No, big gray ones can too.
Yeah. Well, they can go pretty far. I've seen them make some pretty amazing leaps. And I think once they got to a stovepipe, they could probably clamber up it.
Well, yeah, with enough speed, yes.
Yes. Great squirrel. Thank you so much. Very nice to meet you. It's on bird feeding. And there's... Oh, what? Come on. I was just getting going here. I got some... okay. All right. We'll move on then. I can't get out of this row, though. I'm stuck in this row. How are you again? Pretty good. Fine. nice. I have that same coat, Lands End.
Exactly.
Okay, pardon me. How are you guys doing? Pretty good?
Still pretty good.
What a fun day for you coming to this thing. It's got to be good. It's like going to, Department of Motor Vehicles for a lot of people. Oh, yeah, we're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz. This is what you've been waiting for, a chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot play the quiz, which means whoever I gave that to needs to come over to this aisle here and read the four disclaimers. This is legally required. Well, it's not legal. It's not required. But other than that, it's legally required. And you are?
Julie Henning.
Julie, I'll give this to you and just get out of your way. Good luck.
But I can't read your handwriting.
Can't read my handwriting.
What is that word?
Roll over.
Up above it.
Wonder.
Wonder. Okay, I'm reading it verbatim here, so this is not my idea. Okay. All questions used... All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are our par. They're our par. Our par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, wonder if I should roll over my midlife crisis. That was not me. Okay. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations.
I didn't actually take a midlife.
Okay. I'm not there yet, so I don't know. You tell me what it's like. Okay. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Very good.
There you go.
It felt a little like you were judging it while you were reading it, but no, take that. So you'll always remember this moment, or at least as long as you have that sheet of paper. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the quiz. Come on, you've heard, you thought, I can do that. If you think that, you know, you're someone who can... this young man in back here, because this young man back shall lead us in the future. Because it is a, well, maybe we'll get to him next time. We had a young fellow here. Look at this. He's all decked out in his shorts. Are those your sports shorts?
Yeah.
Yeah. What sport do you play?
I play basketball, football, baseball, and track.
Let me ask you again. What sport don't you play?
Soccer.
Oh, all right. Don't care for soccer? What's the matter?
I just don't like it.
Yeah. Everyone else your age just plays soccer, but you're playing everything but soccer.
Exactly. I mean.
Yeah. And your name is?
Brandon.
Brandon. And what grade are you in right now?
I'm in seventh grade.
Seventh grade. At where? At where?
Prairie du Chien.
Prairie du Chien, the fighting Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Blackhawks, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you say your name was?
Brandon.
That's what I thought it was. Brandon, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Brandon, give me one good reason why you should play this quiz. Give me a bad reason, Brandon.
Because I want to.
Because he wants to. He's a self-assured young man. Come on up here, Brandon, if you would. Have a seat there. I'm the Nogai. Howard Johnson, Nogai.
I like it much better.
Yeah, well, it's an emu, but it's related to the ostrich. And it's stuffed anyway, so it's not really related to anything. And so you must be practicing or in sports or playing constantly.
Yeah.
Do you have any time besides that for anything else?
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Yeah,
really, not much.
Yeah, what do you do, for example, when you're not?
Homework.
Oh, you do homework?
Yeah.
Where what do you have the most homework these days?
Reading class.
Yeah, reading class. And what are you reading right now?
The Witch of Blackbird Pond. It's really boring.
Yeah. Well, I didn't catch that one. Is it a mystery or something?
Kind of. It's weird. I don't like it.
No.
I would not recommend reading that book.
No. Have you mentioned this to your teacher?
No, because, no. Like the last chapters were okay, but everything else was just, why am I reading this book?
Yeah. Do you get a choice of different books to read?
No.
And then do you get tested on it and all that?
Yeah, we have this huge test. It's
nothing worse than being tested on a book you don't like.
Exactly.
I know.
It sucks. It's terrible.
Yeah, it sucks and it's terrible. Exactly what I was going to say. And have you read any books in there that you've liked?
Yeah, there's one, but...
Which one was it?
The remember? Westing Game.
The what?
Westing Game.
And is that, what is that?
It's a mystery.
Oh, so that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And aside from the reading, that's where the most stuff. Do you have a class that you actually like?
Some classes are okay, but none of them are like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Now, you're in seventh grade. Now, along the way, did you ever have a class that was amazing?
Yeah, last year, our math class, like, didn't get any homework, and the teacher was awesome. It was.
Yeah.
It was great.
But did you learn any math?
Yes, we learned math.
And no homework?
Yeah.
So how did that work, then? Did you do your stuff in class?
Yeah, we got most of our stuff in class.
Yeah, cool. And that was in sixth grade?
That was in sixth grade.
So what were you, is it algebra at that point?
No, I don't even know. Like, well, I was actually doing seventh grade math and sixth grade. Like, I'm doing eighth grade math right now.
Yeah. So what is that these days? What are there? It's equations and stuff?
Yeah, like we did like linear equations and stuff.
Yeah, that's where I get off.
Yeah.
Linear equations. When my daughter, the youngest one, was going through, and I right up to linear equations, I could help her with her homework. And after that, I said, honey, I tried to read up on it, and I couldn't get it.
I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a problem that I can figure out? Or
probably. I'll turn to you, Brandon. I'll just take your number here, and I'll call you if that ever happens again. Well, she's in college now, so she got through linear equations without me.
That's nice.
Yeah. Brandon, someone out there plays along with you. You know how this works?
Yeah.
You actually listen to the show?
No, my parents do.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like on the way to basketball tournaments.
Basketball, okay, so you've had to endure it. All right, so this is revenge, then. If you win some prizes, that'll be revenge for all that endurance you had to put up. And we have various categories, don't we? But how does this work? How does someone get out to play on the quiz with Brandon, I guess?
If somebody wants to be Brandon's partner in the quiz, they dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Oh, here it is.
Must get right.
Oh, I'm sorry. A completely unreliable study finds NBA referees are wrong about what percentage of the time? So we need to be within, a couple percent. What percentage of the time are NBA referees actually wrong? Totally unreliable. So you can say pretty much what you want, I guess. Alan's on the line from Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Alan. Alan?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Are you underwater?
Yes, I am. How'd you know? It's raining over here pretty bad.
Is it pretty bad, huh? Alan, unreliable study says NBA referees are wrong about what percentage of the time?
I'll say 35.
Okay, close enough. Congratulations, Alan. It's 14%, but it's unreliable. So I think more like 35 is a little more accurate. Alan, this is Brandon. He's your partner here, and he's about as smart as he's ever going to get. So seventh grade is as smart as you get. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that, but now I do.
Falls off after seventh grade. But so he's very smart. You're lucky to have him for a partner. And Alan, what do you do there in Columbus?
I am an engineer.
Engineer. Okay, so we got a lot of fields covered here.
I want to be an engineer. So
you want to be one?
Yeah.
Fantastic. This is a foot in the door for you. And so the two of you work together, Alan and Brandon. What categories have we now?
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
All right. Alan, you pick first one. What would you like?
Current events.
Current events.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Where do we find you now, Alan?
Right now, I'm at the oil change place.
What? Oil change? You getting
right
oil
now?
Change?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you getting the artificial stuff or the real stuff?
I think it's the real stuff. Yeah. I stepped outside so I could play the quiz with Brandon.
Oh, cool. You trust them to do that without your being in there watching every step they make?
Nah, I don't care.
This is from the news. Although he took it the wrong way, Tim Cook offered Steve Jobs his what? This is in a new biography that just came out, and everyone's talking about this part of it. Tim Cook from Apple had offered Steve Jobs, who died, who was the former head of Apple, his what? Alan, Brandon, talk it over.
I have no idea.
Do you have any idea, Brandon?
No, I have no idea.
No idea? Okay.
Neither do I.
Okay.
Guess I haven't been paying attention to current events lately. Let's see. What could he possibly have offered him here?
Maybe the Apple Watch, the iWatch, or whatever it's called.
No, I don't think you're gonna get it. He offered his liver.
Oh.
He needed a liver transplant, and Steve apparently took it the wrong way and was very upset about that. He offered him his liver and didn't take it. So that would be...
One wrong. Sadly.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll recover from this. And what's left?
People, places, things you should have learned in school, science or odds and ends.
Okay. Brandon?
Science.
Science. You're good in science? Are you good in science?
Yes, I'm good in science.
Okay. After shaking hands, people unconsciously do one of the following. After shaking hands, do they sniff their hand? Unconsciously, no. They're not aware of doing this. Do they cringe or do they count their fingers after shaking hands?
Alan, I'm thinking sniff. I mean,
sniff, he's thinking.
I'm thinking that might be a good one, too.
Sniff is right. Yeah, they sniff. Yeah. We could prove this, but not everyone's conscious of it. Sniff.
Another reason to be neurotic. That's one right and one wrong. And the categories left are people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Alan, back to you.
How about people?
People, kind of survey results, yes. Okay, after one drink, two drinks, or no drinks, when do you look your hottest? These are like for dating couples. You want to know, do you look your hottest after one drink, after two drinks, or after no drinks?
Alan, I think I'm going to say two drinks.
Why are you going to say anything, Brandon? I don't understand that. You're in seventh grade.
Two or one? Seventh? Wow, that's something.
Yeah.
Two drinks. Well, I think maybe I'll go with Brandon on this with two drinks, but I think it may be one, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Well, now, Alan, you probably have done a little more drinking than Brandon.
I hope he has. I don't drink. So.
No, you don't drink. Of course not. No, you're an athlete. You never even think about it.
How about one?
He thinks one because after, you know, maybe after one drink, you start to look not quite so hot.
Well, whatever he says, I mean.
Okay.
Sure, go with one.
After one drink. Right. That's right. This is an English study. It may be different in this country or in Wisconsin.
Two right and one wrong.
Okay. So
categories left are places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Things you should have learned in school.
Should have learned this in school. Okay. All Z is B, all Y is B, therefore all Y is Z is what kind of fallacy?
Can you repeat that?
All Z is B, all Y is B, therefore all Y is Z. What type of fallacy is that? A stupid fallacy, is that what you said? It's a stupid fallacy.
Yeah.
Some kind of a middle fallacy. Some kind of a middle fallacy, obviously, because in the middle, the B is. Something to do with the distribution fallacy.
A distributive fallacy?
Where the middle is distributed. Some
middle distributive fallacy?
Or the way it's not distributed.
I don't know. I'm no help here. I don't know. I should have learned this in school, I guess.
Should have learned this in school. So that you're saying the not distributed middle fallacy or the undistributed middle fallacy?
Yeah. 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 Sure.
Alan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Need
sure.
you to sign off on this.
Yeah.
I can't give it to you any closer. No. Undistributed middle fallacy. That's right. Yeah. Because you can't really say that.
Brandon, to find out what percent of young men cannot tell when a potential date is interested, read Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. Alan, start every day with What Do You Know? Audience enthusiasm, drinking Stephen Brew's breakfast blend coffee, and later enjoy tasty Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. We know beans about coffee. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Now, this is PRI, Public Radio International.
Okay, thanks, Brandon.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we'll brass it up with the Wanakee Community Big Band. Plus, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who just wants a piece of the world, I mean, peace in the world, for his birthday, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay, you know, each week at this time we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. so that actual listeners shall not perish from the earth. Is we got a twofer today because a couple of them here. So why the heck not? This, of course, is the famous ferret memo. Reads as follows. Attention, residents. Does anyone in G building have a pet ferret? There is a loose ferret running around G building on the third floor. Please catch it and bring it back to your apartment and put it in its cage. Pets are not to be let loose in the buildings. Give the office a call if it is your pet so we can document it in our system. Well, there you have it. There's that memo. That's not so good. So I thought we'd try this one as well. Oh, thank you, though. I appreciate that. Did the light go on? That's good. This is, what is this? This is some kind of service online. Well, it's a phone number, actually. Oh, let me read this. It's some sort of service-related thing. Anyhow, is what it reads as follows. Read this before calling our phone number. Free shipping on orders over $100 does not apply to orders placed over the phone. Shipping and handling costs run $10 to $20 more for phone orders than orders placed online. The good part, our staff that answers the contact form submissions and emails is much more able to help with any parts needs or problems you may have. The person you end up talking to will be busy, overworked, and grumpy and does not want to talk to you. Remember, if you call on the phone, you'll be talking to somebody who did not want to answer the phone in the first place. Again, you will be provided with a much higher quality of service if you use the contact form or email. After reading the above points, click here to see our phone number. And check the following box. I have read the above points and am prepared to talk to a disgruntled employee of the chainsaw. After reading the above points, click here to see our phone number. Thank you so much for that. Do not call. Use the online form. There you go. Now you know why. Where can they send memos or any sort of anything they want to?
Well, people can send memos send or birthday cards to What Do You Know at WPR.org with the subject
for
line
Einstein's
memos or happy birthday.
They send it right to the Einstein family?
Right to the Einstein family. Yeah. Or they can go to notmuch.com and post memos or birthday wishes there however they would like.
Oh, a cake. Einstein got a cake. Isn't that sweet? Look at that. It's a beautiful cake. But how is anyone going to leap out of that cake? It's just like one layer. It's a sheet cake. Like a snake, an anaconda could come out of that. Isn't that sweet? And happy birthday, Michael. Isn't that, it's a beautiful cake. It looks like there's enough for almost everyone here.
There is.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Huh? Oh, sure. It was nothing. Okay. What? Oh, I got to blow them out?
You got to make a wish first, though.
I do?
Yeah.
Okay, I wish that I could blow out the candle. Well, sure, I'll have a piece while you're here. Are you going to serve everyone individually? That's very nice of you. This is not in your description. Oh, there. Yeah. Oh, it's very nice. Is it, what kind of, is it? Oh, I hate Marvel. Ugh.
How old are you?
I think there's somebody else waiting around the corner to play a happy birthday tune for you as well, perhaps.
Who's that?
No.
Okay. Well, here we go. Thank you. All right. And you all get a piece. So hang in there. I just got to talk among yourselves. Oh, it's really good. Mmm. Mmm. Boy, that's a good cake. Okay, so here, it all starts, you know, not only is it my birthday, but St. Patrick's Day is just around the corner. And, of course, the biggest thing around here is going on at Rex's Innkeeper in Wanakee, the only Wanakee in the world. And there's a big band that plays out there, you know. It's the Wanakee Wannabes. And we couldn't, our stage is not big enough to have the entire band here. We thought, wouldn't it be fun? And all we got is most of the horn section, right? Are there any horn players? Can you bring that microphone over there? Just pass it up here if you would. Yeah, give it to one of those guys.
Yeah, we couldn't bring the whole band, so we brought the traditional combo, you know, one trumpet and two trombones. So, you know.
Yeah, where is that traditional?
I have no idea.
In Latvia? I don't think it's so traditional around here. Yeah. And you guys were at the show the other day.
Yes,
we were. This gentleman claimed to be an Englishman.
Yes, listen, he can prove it.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm from England originally. I'm now residing just outside Warnocky, unfortunately, in Middleton. So.
Oh, you're actually in Middleton. Well,
that's
a great disappointment.
I'm on the boundary.
Yeah.
Is
not having two trombones in the band overkill?
We normally have four.
No kidding. There's two more at home?
There are two more, yeah. Just like us.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And how many trumpets?
Four trumpets, four trombones, five saxes, and the rhythm section.
Are you kidding? That's how big this is.
That's how big it is, yeah.
Are you a marching band or what?
No. We don't march anywhere. I think we've all led other lives, so we've sort of ruined our backs and everything else.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is there something written for two trombones and
oh, trumpet? Absolutely not.
This has never been done.
Yeah.
But you really? So, what are you going to do for us here?
We're going to do Jada first.
Okay.
You know, it's just a little ditty.
Do you need to run through it first and see?
Probably,
all aligned.
Yeah, we'll run through it once, okay, and then we'll call it good.
Do you have a name for yourself as a little combo?
Oh, yes, we do. We're Men in Black with Bow Ties.
Men in Black with Bow Ties, ladies and gentlemen, for St. Patrick's Day. A little number for you, coming at you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's do the whiplash on this now. Same thing, double time. Double time. Go ahead. Double time. Double time.
No.
Oh, we can do that.
They can do it. They can do it. They can do it. Let them do it. They do it. Come on. Yeah. Watch this. Double time. That worked for me.
Oh, we're gonna
do you have another one? Or are you?
Yeah, we got another one. But yeah, like you know, you're celebrating 30 years now, and like our parent organization is the Wanakee Community Band, and they're celebrating 30 years this year. Yes, and I'm a charter member. One of the original band had 30 people. Coincidentally, had 30 people in it, and I'm one of what we call the. The 12 apostles, the 12 that are remaining from the first 30. Yes.
You guys all have day jobs, don't you? Not that you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What do you do like your day job?
I'm an electrical engineer.
I'm a chartered architect in England. So.
What do you hear? Nothing, right?
Well, I actually look after my grandchildren over here. So.
Well, can't you get chartered here too?
I need to transfer all of my qualifications over from the UK, but the Royal Institute of British Architects.
Why don't you take your qualifications with you when you leave the UK?
Well, I did. I've actually got my certificate and everything, but...
but it's no good here, right?
No, it has to be validated by the AIA, so... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if anyone's looking for an architect, I'm on the...
And what do you do?
I'm a software engineer at the little Google office we have in town.
Oh, yeah, is that right?
So, yeah, it's a fun thing to do. Yeah, cool. And in my spare time, I chase a couple of children around.
Children,
yeah. Usually. It's actually a lot easier. When other kids come over to play, it's actually a lot easier because they're off on doing something by themselves. And then, but, yeah.
Cool. Okay, but this is your real passion. Your passion is brass, brass, and brass, brass.
Absolutely, brass is...
We have a great sax section, too. Yeah. You know,
isn't sax considered brass?
I guess not.
No,
it's
a woodwind instrument, yeah. They're reeds, and we have mouthpieces like this, and they have reeds that they blow through.
I understand that. I gave them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Well, I'm from England, so I wouldn't know. I didn't get any of the questions right in the quiz, so.
Okay. At least you can play that thing. Okay. And this what this number is?
Before that, just one quick thing. The dance that the Irish ladies are going to. That's a fundraiser for the Wanakee Community Band. Okay. Nobody makes any money off it. It all goes to the band. It's a charitable organization, and we'd love to get any of you want to come.
Yeah.
It's cheap.
Is there booze?
Oh, yeah. It's Rex's.
Rex's.
Okay. Yeah.
Enough said. Rex is the innkeeper there in Wanakee.
In Wanakee. 7 o'clock. St. Pat's.
7 o'clock. St. Pat's Day. So really, it'd be a fun event. And you might hear something like this.
Not so much. You'll hear better stuff. Charts. I mean, we're playing really some good stuff. Got some examples, Ken?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're playing a little more blues, please. Lots of Sammy Nestico.
We've got Misty in there.
We've got Misty in there. Yeah, there are. We've got some really
a lot of dance tunes.
It's good for dancing.
Yeah.
Right. Bring your sweetie.
Bring your sweetie.
Bring your clogs.
So.
And we're even going to play polka.
Yeah.
Which is something we never play in the UK. Not in a dance band, we don't, no.
He didn't know that in Wanakee that's required. Every concert needs a polka. Yeah. So
it was only when I did my first world tour of Wanakee that I realized that they were obligatory.
All right, well, you hear nothing like this then, and here we go.
Yeah, so now we're going to do
the Saints.
The Saints.
Here we go, Saints.
Sing along, clap along, do whatever you want. Thank you.
to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from the Scots
Doug
Public
Tomlinson
Radio and PRI
on trumpet.
Public
Kim
Radio
Davis
International.
On trombone. Philip Wells on the other trombone. Where are we?
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay. Are you getting your cake then? Everyone get the cake? Did you get some cake? Yeah? Don't worry, I'm not going to talk to you. I can see you're alarmed. I promise I won't. I might come over this way a little bit, but I'm not going to talk to you. I'm sorry. I know. I can see you. Okay. Let's see here now. How to politely inform a Girl Scout about the dangers of trans fats. Justin, why would you want to be doing that exactly? Yeah. Did you have... Yeah. Well, you're not on the microphone yet, so all this wisdom is being wasted. You know what's in that cake you're eating? No.
Should have read the label, I guess.
Sorry. Definitely trans fats in there.
That's why they're so good. That's the problem.
So what is your problem with the Girl Scouts of America?
I'd like to give them money and eat their cookies without, you know.
When they come to the door, have you mentioned trans fats to them or tried to educate?
Oh, no, I still buy the cookies. I just don't eat them.
Yeah, no, we all do that. I don't know. Has anyone ever eaten any of those Girl Scouts? I mean, the first couple of years, you eat them, you know, and then, boy, but you still got to buy them.
Exactly. You got to support a good cause. Yeah, I agree with that.
Are you in the anti-trans fat movement or are you a chemist or something? Or
no, I'm just a
biologist or food microbiologist.
I used to be less conscious and now about my eating habits, and now I've been informed they're not good.
Cake in your lap there.
I think it's peer pressure.
Well, I mean, you're not in this field, though. What field are you in?
Oh, engineering.
So what do you really know about trans fats?
I'm trying
kind
to...
Outside your whole...
Exactly.
Are there not some good trans fats?
I'm not qualified to answer that, I guess.
Oh, see, that's what I'm saying, exactly. And you expect these Girl Scouts... We really have nothing to do with the manufacturing process to speak on behalf of the fat content of their cookies.
I guess it is holding them to a pretty high standard.
Yeah, this talk. Yeah, just buy the cookies and don't say anything about it. What else can you do? All right. Trans fats. You worry about trans fats?
No.
Worry about any fats or?
No.
No, you're in good shape. And carbohydrates, worry about those?
No.
What are you worried about?
Tip off at noon.
At noon? Yeah. Are you going?
Yeah. Well, not to Chicago.
Oh, they're in Chicago.
Yeah. But we
the beginning
will
of the,
find a place with adult beverages to watch it.
Yeah. Is this the beginning of the tournament now?
No, yesterday was first day.
Oh, yesterday was. How did we do?
We won.
We did. God, I didn't see it. Who did we beat?
Michigan, and today they play Purdue.
How was Purdue?
We should win.
All right. That's not very good. And you are?
Joe.
Thanks, Joe, for that pungent analysis. I mean, cogent. Did I say pungent? I said cogent analysis. No, I didn't. I don't know. I couldn't think of the right word, you know. It was one of those ent words. What do you call a man with no body and no nose? Julie Henning wants to know. Hopefully this is some sort of a humorous thing here. Julie Henning, a Madison, Wisconsin travel writer. Are you a travel writer?
I am.
Oh, you read the disclaimers. Okay, so you've done some writing on your own, so you could appreciate what goes into that. All those things there. And there's an answer to this?
Nobody knows.
Okay, all right, that was a long walk. Good, though, it was good. Owen Henning, who is a student, who asks, what is today? Is that you, Owen? All right, stand up for a second, Owen. Oh, see you there. Where'd you get that shirt from? Oh, that's okay, don't worry about that.
Okay, I totally don't know, but I think I went to Lambeau Fields. Uh-huh. But
you think you were at Lambeau Field, but you're not sure?
Yes.
So it was a lot of green and gold?
Yes.
A lot of people?
Too much.
Players jumping into the stands at certain points?
Not really.
No? Okay. It's been a losing day. And your question, what is today?
Yes, it is National Pi Day.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Are you into mathematics and all that?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
How far can you do pi?
Not that much.
How far can you go? As far as you can go.
I don't really know pi, but I know a lot of math.
Okay. What? You can eat pi, yes, okay. I'll give you a 3.1...
4.15 something something.
Okay, very good. On Pi Day. That's the day it is. It's Pi Day. Okay, so we got people here from Waterford, Wisconsin. And are you farm people? Because a lot of questions here about corn and how can a brown cow live in a red barn, eat green grass, and produce white milk? Is that the same group on Waterford? Are you farm people?
No. Yeah, kind of.
No.
Yeah, kind of or not? When you look out your window, what do you see?
Grass.
All right. Anything on the grass, walking around, chewing, anything like that?
No cows.
No cows. All right. Anything in the gravel there? Anything pecking away in the gravel?
Geese.
You have geese?
Yeah, we live on a lake.
Oh, you live on a lake. Okay.
Yeah.
But do you come from a farming family, farming background?
Not really.
Well, it's amazing that you're all concerned about farm things.
I don't know. I just asked my dad a question, and he said to write that. So.
Oh, your dad is. Where is your dad? What are you doing over there, man? You're responsible for this whole conversation, and you're. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay. And so, what lake do you live on?
Rochelle.
Yeah. Is that a nice lake?
Yeah, it's a private lake.
It's a private lake. So no one else can be on it but you.
Nope. You got to have your orange fish.
You have to have an orange fish?
Yes.
Explain.
In order to be on the lake, you have to have an orange fish. Otherwise, the lake president will come yell at you.
Your lake has a president.
It does.
Why doesn't Walker run for that then? He could be president of a lake. Start with something small and work your way up. I mean, start with a lake or something, a body of water. Is a lake president?
What?
Do you get to vote for lake president?
Yeah. Today I can vote. It's my 18th birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday. Your birthday?
It is.
Yeah. And is this part of your birthday celebration?
Yeah.
Yeah? Not the end of it, I hope.
No.
What happens next?
Lunch. I don't know where.
You don't know where yet? And then a big party?
Probably not, no.
No? Okay.
I got a highlighter for my birthday.
You got a highlighter for your birthday. That's kind of sad. Did you ask for a highlighter for your birthday? Like a book highlighter thing?
It's an electronic one for college.
Good. No one in college who has an electronic highlighter, though. I mean, they tell you that's what it was for, though, huh?
Yeah.
Tuition might be a little more helpful than a...
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and your name is... Are you Brianna?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Brianna.
Thank you.
We have a little something for you, just to highlight that highlighter.
We do. How about what do you know the party game?
What do you know the party
something
game?
Something to entertain yourself between those highlighting episodes.
Yes, what a way to spend your birthday evening playing what do you know the party game. Thanks, Brianna. Very nice to meet you. Happy birthday. Big one. Bob Moorhead, Sparta, Wisconsin. Are you going to sponsor a state park? I was thinking of buying naming rights. You can buy naming rights now to state parks. Pretty cool. Not much state park. Doesn't have to be big or anything. In fact, better if it wasn't. So, I don't know. Anyone going to buy a state park? Anything about it? Nice that everything's for sale now in Wisconsin. I love it. No? Okay. What are the chances that you would announce my high school 50th reunion in 2016? My odds are about even, I would say. What? Okay, it's important. You want me to announce this? Don't people know about it?
Not everyone.
Okay, well, let's see if we reach everyone with this. I'm not sure. 50 years, Priscilla Tentoni. And where is this high school and Stand up if you would, really, Priscilla. Yeah.
West Dallas Central High School, 19.
West Dallas Central, all right.
Class of 1966, and I'm on the committee. And we were told to publicize it, and I think of no better way than to get it on national radio.
Well, there must be a better way.
So they should contact us if they're listening.
Okay.
And we don't know when or where or anything, but they should still...
or who you are. They don't remember who you are, probably.
Sometime during 2016. That's all we know.
Okay, that's a little vague. Shouldn't you plan this a little bit? You're on the committee?
Yes, yeah, save the day, all 365 of them.
The entire year for your possible reunion. Have you had other ones short of 50?
10 and 20.
Okay, so there's been a gap.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, make a few more. Maybe come back when you make a few more plans.
All right, thank you.
But keep that in mind. And should they contact you then?
There's a web page. They can find it on classreport.org.
Classreport.org.
Yes, they can find it.
Okay, West Dallas Central, any of you here? Okay, no. Okay, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I hope it's a wonderful event. If you need a band, we got a band for it. And Michael here is my doppelganger. We got to get Michael up here. And we are almost exactly the same person, but one's from the south side, one's from the north side. Ladies and gentlemen, but it's good that we could make this together and heal some of those wounds that existed between the north side, because we go down there around Pulaski and we usually have a fight on our hands.
Okay.
Did you go to Pulaski?
No, I went to Don Bosco.
Don Bosco? Okay, that's bad too. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
Happy birthday to you as well. Okay. Let's see anything else here. Anything else? Website? No. If Governor Walker becomes president, will you move your show to Canada? No. If he becomes president, I'm staying here because he'll be gone. Then I'm in business. Okay, that covers about everything right now. So we're going to go right on to the quiz because you saw what happened last time. This could happen to you, ladies and gentlemen. Or not. Or any, you know... Because you want to, you know, come on, you got it. You think you got this one? The birthday girl. From the same group. Okay, come on. Birthday girl. Because we didn't get her anything. I'll pick up those cards later. Don't worry about it. Now, how are you related to this group here?
The 18-year-old is my sister, my niece.
You wish she was your sister.
The 18-year-old's mother is my sister. And I have another sister and a mother and a partner and some in-laws to be. So you've
got just about every group you could possibly have.
And Bill.
And Bill.
My brother-in-law.
He's your brother-in-law. Okay. And your name is?
Lori.
Lori. And is today actually your birthday?
Today is.
We're the same day, March 14th.
And with my niece, too, and Albert.
Yeah.
So we're like a Pisces. You know, supposed to be good dancers. Are you a good dancer?
Yeah.
I'm terrible. So
no, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Yeah.
You're good, but I'm terrible.
But I don't want to dance with you.
No, I didn't. No. Give me one good reason why you should play this quiz.
Because it is your birthday.
It is my birthday, yeah.
All right, that's what I'm saying. I don't even need a reason. It's my birthday. I don't need a reason. I'd like to have a reason, but I have.
Good. Very good cake.
You can entitle an extra piece because it is your birthday. All right.
I'm watching my trans fats.
What?
I'm watching my trans fats.
Your trans fats?
Yeah, so I'll skip the second piece
of
cake.
What is a trans fat? Are those the coconut oil or something like that?
You got to ask that engineer over there, wherever he was.
It's not his field. He left. I think the humiliation he suffered caused him to take another field entirely. I don't think he's an engineer anymore. Okay. I'm sorry, your niece said your name is?
Lori.
Lori with an I-E?
Just I.
With an I, of course. Okay. You think you're the first Lori used just an I in her name?
No.
There was a break, you know, for years there was always an E after all these names, and then suddenly they just went with the closing I.
When I was in about third grade, I changed the spelling of my name.
You did? Oh, cool for you.
I don't think Mom was too happy at first. But
yeah. Legally? You couldn't do it legally, though, in third grade.
No. My name's Laura.
Laura.
Legally.
Legally?
Yeah.
And then have you changed legally since then?
No.
Go through the... Okay. Okay. Well, I always think of you as just ending an I.
I.
That's a good way to do it. Saves time, for one thing. Anyway, what do you do these days, Lori?
I work for Department of Revenue.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. How are things with you guys? Pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do with them? Rake it in?
I'm a business analyst with Revenue. Oh.
So that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good thing, I think.
What's good about that?
We're here to serve the public and make taxes
are you reading that
fair
or something?
And equitable. No, but I hear it a lot.
Yeah, you looked up in your head, you're reading off the sheet there or something. Here to serve the public.
Here to serve the public.
Well, that's good. All right. what do you do that's fun when you're not collecting revenue?
I like playing pool.
Oh, yeah, you're a pool player.
Yeah.
Huh? Pretty
yeah,
good?
Yeah, yeah, a really good pool player.
Are you? Mm-hmm. You make some money at it occasionally?
No, not anymore.
Did you declare anything you make?
No.
You don't declare anything that you make?
Well, not at pool. You asked if I made money at pool.
Yes.
And I don't declare anything I make at pool because I don't make any.
Oh, okay.
At pool.
Let's say you do. Let's say you're hustling out there.
Well,
where do you play?
Great Dane.
Oh, the Great Dane.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So let's say you hustle somebody out there. They think you know, you don't know a thing from pool, you know, and you hustle them and say, would you declare that then?
Certainly.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Yep.
All right, and then someone out there plays along with you, Lori, and we do that in various ways, don't we?
Well, actually, we do it pretty much in just one way.
Just one way?
Yep.
What would that be?
If somebody at home wants to play the quiz, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, which is also 1-800-WHA-NOW or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, and they answer a qualifying question of your choice.
Okay, after the discovery of a huge amount of nougat, it turns out the Milky Way is found to be how much bigger than thought before? The Milky Way. Because of nougat, I said that's just a little joke I put in here, but they have re-examined the figures on the whole thing. The Milky Way in which we find ourselves at the current time is actually significantly bigger than formerly thought, significantly. And if you know how much that would be, it's significant. Let's go to the phones right now, and that will get you to play the quiz here with Lori. And Greg is in Clemson. I said it right.
Hi.
Right? It's in Clemson.
Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah. See, I said it right, though, Greg. Aren't you impressed?
You did indeed, yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
How are you? How's the weather there? Pretty good? Decent?
No, it's nice. It's rainy, but it's really lovely out here still.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a golfer? You like to play golf out there in those courses they got?
No, I'm actually a department chair at the university, so not a lot of time to play golf.
Oh, really? I thought that's what department chairs do. Some of the great decisions are made. Department chair, what department are you the chair of?
The art department.
The art department. Oh,
yeah.
That's good. And what sort of art are you? What's your background in art?
Sculpture.
Oh, you're a sculptor.
So really, yeah. Anything I can get my hands on that I can manipulate, I try to utilize.
Yeah, but what about the sculpture? So do you have things around Clemson that are things that you've sculpted?
Not around Clemson, except in my studio, lots of stuff. But yeah, nothing in town.
Are you working on something heroic in nature right now?
Well, I am actually. I'm whittling some twigs down to make a sculpture, a wearable house. So.
You're whittling twigs to make a wearable house sculpture?
Yeah, it'd be the frame. It'd make a framework of the sculpture. So I'm making a doweling twigs together, and I have a sewn canvas house, and then it's stretched between and you can wear it. So a portable house.
Hmm. Wow, that's not what I expected, right? It's not heroic, but it's good. I like it. Okay, they did some re-examination of the Milky Way. They discovered it is how much bigger than previously thought?
I think it's, I mean, I had a sense that I think it's about maybe 100 times larger than they thought.
100 times larger?
Yeah, like infinitely larger, you know? I mean, that would be, that'd be big, right?
Well, that's why you're in art, Greg. That's why they drummed you out of science, Greg.
No, that's definitely what happened.
I'm sorry, it's not 100. No, I'm sorry, that's pretty far off.
Okay.
Thanks, though.
All right, thank you.
Talk to you sometime. Jack's in Highland, Wisconsin. Hey, Jack.
Hey, it's Zach with a Z.
Oh, it's Zach with a Z.
Yes.
Okay. I got it now, Zach. Are you a cosmologist by any chance or an astrophysicist or anything like that?
No, I'm a cable guy.
Oh, you're the cable guy.
I'm the cable guy, yeah.
It's pretty similar to being a cosmologist because you never know where in space they are. When, you know. So, okay. Are you working right now, Zach?
I'm on my lunch break.
Oh, you are. That's what they all say.
Yeah.
Where do you go? You park someplace obsolete in Highland?
I'm headed to my house real quick on my lunch break.
Real quick? Sure.
Yeah, real quick.
How quick is real quick? Come on.
About an hour.
Okay. Does that include travel time?
That includes my travel time to my lunch, yes.
Okay, cool. Because someone's right now waiting for you. Been waiting for you since 8 a.m. Because you say sometime between 8 and 2 o'clock.
I got my 8 a.m. appointments already out of the way, so okay. We're good for that.
But, you know, the window is like 6 hours, right? I mean, you got to wait.
It's only two. Only a two-hour window.
Yeah, but in real time.
But if I hit it at 9:59, I'm still on time.
Okay, Zach, I don't mean to grill you here. The Milky Way is how much bigger than thought previously?
I'm sorry, what was that?
The Milky Way.
The Milky Way is twice the size as previously thought.
Yeah, that's close enough, Zach. 50% bigger is almost twice as much. It's pretty big, let's face it. We could go through this all day and still not get the measurements of the Milky Way. So where are you right now, Zach? Are you traveling towards your lunch break?
I'm in between Cobb and Highland, close to Black Hawk Lake right now.
Okay, but are you moving?
I am moving.
Okay, I'm a little concerned about that.
I have a headset in, so I'm good.
You have a what?
I have a headset in.
You have a headset.
I'm not holding a phone up to my head.
That's even worse, though, Zach. They say it's even worse than holding the phone up to your head.
Not really. I can still move my eyes around and see what's going on. But I can pull over by the lake.
Well, you know, it's because you are driving a company vehicle. I presume you're in one of those. Are you in a charter guy?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I can. I'm pulling over right now into the bait shop. So.
Yeah, they'd much rather see you parked in front of the bait shop than just.
That's right.
Swerving on the way home for lunch.
Exactly.
Okay. Because I don't want to. Maybe pick up some bait while you're there, too.
Safety first, right?
Yeah. Have you been fishing yet, Zach?
I have not done any fishing yet this year.
Yeah. Are you a fisherman?
Although the lake's starting to melt, so maybe we'll see here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. What do you like to go out after, Zach?
I just like the panfish, bluegill, perch.
Really?
Crappies. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. It's kind of a nuisance to clean, though, aren't they, those panfish?
They're not too bad.
Yeah, they're tasty. But
They are very tasty.
Zach, yeah. Lori, you are a team right now.
All right. Hi, Zach.
Hello, Lori.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Now they've bonded, and we have various categories, do we not?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
All right. Do you fish?
No.
You don't fish?
No, not lately.
Okay. Zach, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's go current event.
Current events right out of the news. Okay, they found this preserved somewhere. It's preserved by mud. It turns out it's the world's oldest one of the following. I'll give you a hint here because it's kind of hard unless you heard about it. The world's oldest what preserved in mud? Is the world's oldest brain, private part, or toupee? Preserved in mud.
I thought this was going to go in a completely different direction.
Yeah. It often does. It's a medical problem.
It still
problem.
Might.
Yes.
Talk
it over, you guys.
I want to say a toupee.
Do you want to say a toupee, really?
I was thinking private part.
Oh, okay.
Preserved in mud.
Preserved in mud, yes.
What was the first choice?
Brain.
Brain.
Brain, actual brain matter.
All right, I'll go with Lori. We'll go private part, sure.
You're going to private part?
All right, we'll go private part.
No, I'm sorry, it's the brain.
Ooh.
Oh.
It could be one and the same.
Not quite the same thing. Come on. In many cases, yes, I hear you. It's from York in England. It's 2,600-year-old brain, and it's still spongy. So it might still be good. All right, but don't worry about that. That's just...
That is one wrong.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, don't worry.
But there are categories left, and they are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay.
Lori? Things we should have learned in school.
Let's see if you should have. All right, pronounce the French. This is a French word, actually. It's something that's actually, we would call veggies and dip. But the French call it something that's spelled C-R-U-D-I-T-E-S. And how would you say that if you knew what you were talking about?
There's an accent in there, too. That's
U-D-I-T-S.
Yes, put an accent in there, too. Accent at the end there over the E, right? Yeah. Is that a grave or?
That's an aigu.
Aigu. It's aigu over the E.
Crudu.
Aigu.
Crudu.
Huh?
Wow.
I don't know Zach.
C-R-U-D-I-T-E-S.
Crudu. Crudu.
Zach, come on. You're French.
I took Spanish and Latin in high school.
Oh, you just missed it.
Yeah.
Crudo.
You just missed it.
Crudute. Crudute.
Can you spell
it's not
that
crudites.
Again?
It's not crudites, I'll tell you that. And that's the way I would have.
C-R-U-D-I-T-E-S.
It's a like veggies and dip kind of thing. They couldn't call it that because they're French. Come on.
Crudutes.
It's kind of fun. We could do a whole show based on this premise.
Wow.
Crudates. Crudettes.
No. I don't think so. Crudates. Zach, you want to try one?
Crudetat.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That's pretty good. We're going to accept that. That is so close, Zach. All that foreign language. Crudetat.
I think you're confusing coup d'etat with crudité.
Crudité?
Yeah.
Crudité. Okay. Well, it's close enough. Crudity, as we would say, it's crudity.
However, according to you, that's one right and one wrong.
Yeah.
We'll take it. It works.
It's as good as I could do, or even better, I think. So that's how I judge this.
Okay. The categories remaining are...
I know a coup d'etat is something else again. It's not a dip.
It's not something you eat.
Yeah.
The categories remaining are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Oh, is it back to Zach? Yes.
Zach? Science.
Nice going on that, Zach. I don't care what anyone says. Science. All right. Massive amounts of Saharan dust from the Sahara Desert fertilize one of the following. So dust actually that comes from the desert enters the atmosphere and fertilizes one of the following areas on Earth. Is it the Amazon rainforest, the West Indies, or Newfoundland? Boy, this is as quiet as this audience has gotten.
Wow.
And they've been quiet until now, but this actually shut them down entirely.
So I'm going to say the West Indies.
I agree. That was my first inclination.
Well, yeah. You're both wrong. Whatever your inclinations are, it's the Amazon rainforest. It's actually, that's rather interesting, huh?
That's a long ways.
Yeah. Very surprising. So that would be...
That's too wrong.
You're dangerously close to losing this quiz. I don't think it's happened in this millennium. But it could have, so it's one in
and it's the categories I pick. Go figure, right?
Yeah, go figure. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for your French, you'd be really in trouble. Thank God you took other romance languages.
That pig French.
So the categories left are people, places, or odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Got to help us out here.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody has to.
Yeah. Who pays for the honeymoon? The bride's side, the groom's side, or the people having it?
People having it.
Talk this over.
Who pays for the honeymoon?
Who pays for it later is really the question.
You know, if we go off of mine, my parents were the ones who paid for my honeymoon. So I'm going to say the groom's
side. Groom's side. Okay.
Parents paid for it.
Where'd you go?
I went to Hawaii.
How nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
How nice.
Yeah, right on Waikiki Beach. It was fantastic.
Wow.
That was almost 11 years ago now.
No kidding.
Wow.
That's great.
I'd go with that.
So he said,
I would go.
He said his parents will pay for it, whatever it is. So, yes, the groom's side. They didn't have to. They didn't have to, though. Zach, they didn't have to. That was really nice of them.
No, they wanted to get me out of the country or out of the contiguous 48 for a week.
Yeah, yeah. And I bet they've never been to Hawaii, right? But they paid for you guys to go.
That's right.
That's amazing. That's great.
Did they go with?
No. Goodness, no.
So that's
two right and two wrong.
Oh, this could
There's
well.
Hope yet, and the categories remaining are people or places.
People or places?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People or places.
Places.
Yeah. Places. All right. All right. Lings Coppice, Cockaborn Bridge, and Unita Drive are bus stops in what well-known metropolitan world city? European. Lings Coppice, Cockaborn Bridge, and Unita Drive. Bus stops in what major metropolitan area somewhere in Europe?
In Europe. Europe's a pretty big place.
Europe is a big place.
There. Lots of major cities there.
Yes, there are. But how many would have places named Lings Coppice, Cockaborn Bridge, and Unita Drive? You have to
almost
ask yourself.
It almost sounds like London. What do you think, Lori?
Well,
it almost does.
That was...
Now that you say it.
Yeah, but I'm not too good on places, so I was concerned that London wasn't going to be right. But I'll go with it. That was my... I did think London. But you're concerned
I
haven't been too good on this game.
No.
So I thought...
You can't blame yourself, though. You can't blame yourself.
Yeah, no, I can't. I was forced into coming up here.
Let's go with London.
Who forced you to come up here? Just peer pressure?
Those Waterford people.
Oh, the Waterford people made you come up here. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
London sounds good.
London? Yes, London. It is all London bus stops. Cockaborn Bridge. Where is that going to be? Come on.
Lori, you and three friends will put on your dancing shoes and celebrate St. Patrick's Day with the Wanakee Community Big Band at Rex's Innkeeper. And the only... Didn't we already give you that prize?
Go ahead.
The only Wanakee in the world. Zach, from Breeding in Captivity to Musings on the Identity of the Midwest, you'll be reading Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman, including the CD My Life, the Musical, performed by John Seeger from Terrace Books. And both of you can add the increasingly rare, what do you know, Silver Jubilee Anniversary Quarter to your coin collection and weave the warp of Polish nationalism with the woof of French romanticism in the CD What Do You Know About Chopin with liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Well done, if against your will. Thank you, Baron. Did a nice job, Lori. Zach, hang out. Make sure you get that.
Will do.
All righty.
And hey, for people listening in Milwaukee, what do you know? We'll be back there at the historic Pabst Theater on Saturday, April 25th.
It's going to be fun.
For more information, just go to notmuch.com.
Yeah. You don't have a town of the week you want to do you?
I have a town of the week. I don't know if we have time to call anybody.
Well, let's do it anyway.
Okay. I'll tell you all about our beautiful town of the week, which is nestled in the rolling hills of the Shenandoah Valley. It's called Waynesboro, Virginia, and it's about 25 miles west of Charlottesville. The Monacans, Powhatan, and Cherokee people were the original settlers of the Verdun area. The first European explorers came through around the 1670s, and by the early days of the Virginian colony, Waynesboro became a stopping point for people finding a route through the Shenandoah Mountains. Mm-hmm. The waypoint was originally called Teasdale, likely because of Tease Tavern, where George Washington and Thomas Jefferson are both rumored to have spent the night.
No kidding. Together?
I don't think so. No. The tiny town's name changed in the mid-1790s when it was named after the U.S. Army General Anthony Wayne.
Mad Anthony Wayne.
I don't know.
Yeah, Mad Anthony Wayne.
It was officially recognized by the state of Virginia in 1801 when the population reached about 250 people. The town was incorporated in 1834 with about 500 folks living there. Initially dependent on small-scale farming, Waynesboro's economy grew when not one, but two railroads came through after the Civil War. Hmm. The Chesapeake and Ohio Railway ran east to west, and the Shenandoah Valley Railroad ran north to south. Hmm. Those two lines won Waynesboro the nickname Iron Cross and made the town an industrial and commercial hub with flour and wool mills, tanneries, and a whole lot more. Huh. These days, about 21,000 people live in Waynesboro. The economy relies heavily on tourism. People can drive through the Shenandoah National Park or the Blue Ridge Parkway, hike part or all of the Appalachian Trail, fish the lakes and rivers of the National Forest, or tour local artisan studios. There's also a vibrant Civil War reenactment community in the area. And that is our town of the week.
Who wins? Who wins in those enactments down there?
I would assume that they're historically accurate.
Maybe they just ended at the right time.
Waynesboro, Virginia.
Waynesboro, very nicely done. Sarah Nix. Thank you. That's Waynesboro, Virginia. We are Waynesboro. We are calling out there randomly right now, or Lyle is. He's just putting numbers together and with the right area code, and he's got a knack for it. So we'll find out there. Is that someone there? Someone there? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, are you from Waynesboro, Virginia?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Well, that's amazing that you happened just to call in at this time. Did you happen to hear our town of the week?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. You want to do it again? She described
it's very beautiful. It's in the Shenandoah Mountains.
Shenandoah Mountains.
Blue Ridge Parkway, Blue Ridge Iron Park. Cross, Civil War reenactment.
Several reenactments and so forth. And the beautiful, and Mad Anthony Wayne, the title holder. And there, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
May I ask your name, or at least one of them?
Marta.
Marta?
Yes.
Yeah. And are you from, where are we talking about here?
Waynesboro,
Virginia. Are you from there or the area?
I'm from the area, yes.
Yes. And what can you tell us about Waynesboro from an insider's point of view that wasn't mentioned probably in our intro, too?
Well, we're right beside the Appalachian Trail, yeah. So we see the lovely mountains, and we get work at the library, so we're getting all kinds of hikers that come in and use the library.
The hikers come in and use the library?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are they looking for there? Restroom facilities or?
Computer access, some checkout books.
Yeah, okay, great. Have you done the trail yourself, Marta?
I have not.
No. Does come right up, right past your door there, doesn't it?
More or less, yes.
More or less. How long is the entire trail? You must know that since you're a librarian.
You would think. No, I don't know.
Okay, you're not in reference, apparently.
No.
Yeah. All right, if we were coming to town, what are a few things that you would show us around town, do you think, Marta?
We have a nice heritage museum about the history of Waynesboro. Definitely some of the hiking spots along the Appalachian Trail, like mm-hmm. Humpback Rocks is not too far away.
Okay.
Definitely the library.
Definitely the library.
The library, yeah.
Yeah. And are there some homes there that are on the national record?
Yes, there are.
Okay, that's what I thought there might be. I was thinking there would be. Any famous one? Did Mad Anthony Wayne actually ever live there?
No, I don't believe so.
I don't believe so. And do you know why he was mad, Anthony?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Any spots there that you'd like to go to as far as, you know, a food, libation, or recreation?
There's a couple of good restaurants downtown. There's the Greenleaf Grill.
Greenleaf.
Heritage on Main recently opened, too. Mm-hmm. And both spots have music and other activities at night.
Mm-hmm. Night activities. Okay, sounds good. Well, thank you, Marta. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. I know you probably have people waiting there to do other things in the library. We have a little something for you for being so kind to speak with us.
We do, Marta. We'll be sending you the golden glory of the Badger State in an assortment of natural, organic, handcrafted cheeses from Southwest Wisconsin Cedar Grove Cheese.
Made with actual hands.
Thanks for picking up the phone.
Thanks, Marta.
Thank you. Tom Week,
Waynesboro, Virginia. Although I think we just scratched the surface.
Hey, if you are planning your next Madison outing, why not bring the whole gang to Monona Terrace for a live broadcast? What do you know?
Why not?
Just go to notmuch.com for special group pricing information and get your tickets today.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming, joining us here. Nice to see you all. You're looking good. Thank you for listening. For the boys in the band, Sarah.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph, and Brad Colbert.
I don't usually like frosting, but this is very good. There's no track
tonight. PRI. Public Radio International.